because this is such a place of giving and grace. And I didn't notice this in the first service. And that's not because it didn't happen. It's just because I wasn't paying attention. All right. You ever been there where you just didn't pay attention? You know, your head was somewhere else, you know, but then finally it kicked in. And like Bethany, I didn't even hear the word grace in that testimony when I heard it in the first service. In the second service, it was like, grace! Why is that important? Because the title of today's message is The Aroma of Grace. Now, you'd have thought I'd have gotten that in the first service, right? But I missed it. I totally missed it. Not only that, but there were many songs in the worship today that had within them the context of grace and communication of grace. So the Lord not only set us up, but He set me up, but I wasn't paying attention well enough in the very beginning. I have this situation. You know, the Lord and I, we often, as we're talking, you know, He'll give me a message, and as I knew I was coming here, He prompted this, and I thought, you know, I've preached and talked and taught about grace. I have my notes ill arranged from the first service. I didn't get that back together. Don't have the administration gift, I guess. I'm not sure, you know, but the Lord and I, as we talk about this message, I thought, this is such a place of grace. Why in the world, Lord, would You have me come and talk about grace? So He'll let you know as we go along, all right? He'll speak into you what He wants you to hear in the context of today's message. But let me just mention a couple of things as we're getting started. First of all, I get three, count them three, I almost said three, three in closings. And I might let you know when the first one or second one comes along, but don't hold me to it. Because you know what in closing means? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And keep this in mind. Oh, whoa, again, grace. What can I say? Jeez. I've never done this, preach with a hot cup of whatever this is. Kind of scary. She may be setting me up. I don't know. Oh, it's a cup full of grace. No. Hot tea and honey? Is that honey and lemon? Woo. Okay, so I can't bang on the pulpit or that'll go all over the place. Okay, wasn't planning on that anyway. Where was I? Somebody tell me. Oh, okay. I just enjoyed last evening. Two people of great grace took me out to dinner in advance of today, and I want to say thanks to Mike and Mary for their graciousness last night as we just enjoyed and laughed. I think my face hurt a little bit from laughing so hard when we finally separated at about 9:30 or so. Thank you for your grace to me last evening and serving me in such a great, great way. I really also appreciate, and I've said this before, this is, I think, my third time to visit here with you, and I've said this before, you have no idea how much I appreciate your pastor and his wife, Patty, and their graciousness and friendship toward me. Some of you know, I won't go into the details, the message is not about that, but as I was going through a very, very difficult time in my life, your pastor, out of almost 30 years of ministers that I knew, your pastor was the single person who called me and walked with me and would call me when I never called him, to ask for his call, for his counsel, for his input. But he determined to not let me go. And he would call me. And some of you, having heard before what that is about, I want you to know, so that some of you can clear the decks of this thinking, it wasn't because I was going deep in sin or something. I was going through a very, very difficult separation and then subsequently a divorce. And he walked through that process with me and really was God's grace extended to my life. And I want to, again, just publicly say thank you to him, though he is not here today, and to Patty as well, and to you for the extension of those who minister with you, to those that you might not ever know unless someone like me comes along and tells you that your extension of grace through your pastor toward me was a phenomenal and fantastic, fantastic gift. remind me goodwill. I may forget after drinking some of this, all right? Just say goodwill and I'll know what you're talking about. I don't need it yet. That is good stuff. I never thought about doing that while I was preaching. Where was I? Oh, good. All right. Thank you. Some of you will remember the last time I was here, some of what I was talking about in the message had to do with listening to the voice of God, which also seems strange to me because in the heart of this church is this ability for God to speak into the lives of people and for people to express that. And often we call that prophecy. And so it seemed a little strange to talk about that at that time, but that was encouraging and so forth and so on. And I preached that message on Sunday, and then during the week I was in Rockville. I live in Frederick, Maryland, about 35, 45 minutes, according to how fast you're driving, from Rockville back to Frederick on Interstate 70. I'm driving up 70 at about 8 o'clock or so, 7:30, 8 o'clock-ish at night. And all of a sudden, just as I was about to approach the first major intersection where FSK Mall is over to my right. Anyone familiar with 270 and up in that area? Okay, that's where I was. I knew that was coming. And then I hear this whisper into my heart, into my thinking, go to Goodwill. I've been to Goodwill before. But when I've gone to Goodwill, I always had stuff that I was taking to Goodwill, okay? I've taken clothes, particularly as I've grown in and out of them, both ways. Some of them, all of them, in fact, in great condition, excellent condition, taking them there. I've taken furniture, appliances, computer stuff, all sorts of things that I've taken to Goodwill. And hopefully to bless those that were there, and then, of course, what they do as an organization. But, now keep in mind, I had just preached this message on Sunday. So, like you, I went, but Lord. And I want to go home, it's late, I've been working all day, I've done this, I've done that, yada, yada. And so I put, you know, all this stuff up. And remember, I'm approaching rapidly the intersection. So it's, you know, it's crunch time. Got to make a decision whether I'm going to do what he tells me to do or not. Now, he didn't go to Goodwill. He didn't do it like that. He just went, go to Goodwill. Like, go to Goodwill. So, I'm speeding rapidly toward the intersection, and finally, I get almost there, and I went, like, oh, okay, and I turned off. I go to Goodwill, and I've been, as I said, I've been to Goodwill before. This is quite a large store, and there's a separate area in the back that you can't see the front from the front. I walk through the front door, and I got this sense that I needed to go straight to the back. Now, I knew what was in the back because I'd seen furnishings and appliances and the computer stuff and all that sort of things in the back, okay? So I went, I don't really need any of that stuff, but okay, I'll go back there. Don't know where I'm going. I go back. Everything had been changed. So I go back, stand there for a second in the doorway looking around like, why would I be here? What is it that I'm supposed to do? So it's almost all men's clothing. So, and it's quite a large room. It's probably at least a third again longer than this room is. So it was full of clothing. I walked over to the area that had my size indicated, and I walked up to it. Lo and behold, my coat is hanging on the rack. No. The one that I had dropped off like 2 or 3 months earlier, my coat is hanging on the rack. at my size. Okay, it was a really nice plaid wool winter coat, kind of heavy. You know, you'd wear it on a day like today. It would really be nice. It was in excellent condition, nearly brand new, but I had grown out of it. And by the way, before you get any ideas, I had grown down out of it. Okay? Now, I look at this coat and I went, oh, that's cool. Now, think, you know, go to Goodwill kind of thing. I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. Lord, thank you. See ya. Okay? Right next to that coat was a coat, a sport coat, that I had been shopping for months and months. In fact, like some of you, I was at the point of indecision at one given time, and they sold completely out of the sport coat, and I went back to buy it, and they were completely out of it, and I lost my shopping opportunity. Now, for those of you who are, you're smiling like, you know that feeling? It's painful, isn't it? Yes. So, I'm looking at the rest of this. There's another one right next to it. It's kind of a dark herringbone, again, kind of heavy wool coat. But again, a sport coat. And I'm thinking, man, that would be cool. So I looked at about four of them. I picked up four, went over to the dressing area, put these coats on. Two of them did not fit, sleeve down to here, you know, whatever. I think they were mismarked or something. So anyway, the other two, though, were really great. I mean, they looked like they had just been made for me, and they were absolutely in pristine condition. I'm not sure if one of them had been ever worn except maybe once. And I used to sell high-end men's clothing, so I knew, you know, a good deal when I saw it, you know. And there was like $8 or $10, $12 a piece or something. I think I bought both of them for less than $20. And I'm wearing one of them today. Now, I tell you that story for a number of different reasons. First, it's a great place to shop. And it's really cheap, all right? And in these conditions today, I think they're a little more busy than they have been in the past. Okay? It's a great place to check it out. So, the other reason, though, is not just about hearing God's voice as I was hearing His voice, you know, and that prompting or that thought. Some of us would just say, oh, it's just a thought. You know, well, it could have been. I could have said, well, now let's see. I need to put this to a test. Whew, the interstate, you know, would have just, the intersection rather would have went right on by me had I tested this too long. But I could have said, is that you, Lord? You know, which I did. I could have said, you know, I'm really tired and I want to go home. It's been a long day, which I did. Anybody done that before? Not the same words, but just stuff. You just said, not now, don't bother me. You know, surely this is for the guy on the highway behind me, not me. You know, whatever. So anyway, here I am, I have two coats, and I think to myself, this is the grace of God toward you. Now, you can either walk in it and receive it or not. But sometimes it's all about whether or not you pay attention or not, right? Whether you listen and receive, whether you accept and believe or not. Either you will or you won't. But if you do, you get to enjoy the benefits of what God offers you. It's so simple. It's so simple. Now, I could come, well, at least I could attempt to come to you as a teacher. I'm not going to really come to you that way. I hope to come to you more as an exhorter or an encourager to pay attention and listen. Okay? But I have no desire, nor does the Lord want me to do this today, to kind of go into all there is about grace. That's not the idea. I'm not even going to give you a long, drawn-out definition of grace. Let's just say this. Grace is so wonderful. It's like an onion. It would just take eons to peel it all back because it's not about a thing. It's about who He is. Okay? Grace is simply that expression of the nature of who He is. So I do, you know, for lack of a better reason other than it's just a good thing to do, give someone an explanation or a definition. I would say it like this, that it is the act of gifting versus the gift. Okay? Now, the gift might be the coat, but the act or attitude in the heart of the one who said, go to Goodwill. That is the grace. Right? So, we're going to talk a little bit about Him in us. Because if you know Him, if you've received Him into your life, and I realize that that is probably the majority of us here today, or we probably wouldn't be here, but there may be some who are here today who haven't quite yet said, come into my life as the Lord and leader of my life. Come as my Savior. Forgive me, Lord, of all of the stuff, the sin, the separation between you and me, all that stuff. Just forgive that, please. And let me begin to be led and so I can walk with you and that you can come and abide and live in my life. So I realize that both of those people, someone who's been walking with the Lord maybe a while and others maybe have not even begun their walk yet are here today. But that sense of grace, that nature of God is embodied in us if we have received and accepted Him. Can you say amen to that? Because see, that's critical. If you believe that, then the next step is to walk in it, to express that. So we're going to talk some about that. Some time ago, I was walking into Borders Bookstore up in the Frederick area, and as I was walking in the door, there was a mom and a little girl that were coming out of this double door arrangement, and there's the double door, the air gap, and another set of double doors. So as I was going to step in, this young girl, she was probably, I'd say maybe 8 or 10 years old, and she reaches over and pulls the door open and held the door for me to walk in, and I looked at her and I said, well, thank you very much. And she stood there for just a second, and then I said, young lady, that was a wonderful thing to do. And she went like this, wah, wah, wah. And I was like, okay, let's see. She just held a door, and it was a great thing to do, and then she had a wah, wah, wah attitude. And her mother looked at me like, almost like I wanted to go, let's have a word of prayer, because you're going to need it, all right? You need it now, and you're going to need it. But that's like some of us. See, grace is more than an act. It's not just holding the door. The holding the door comes from an attitude. She was following something in her that prompted her through her training or something, but she did not yet know how to receive a thank you and an encouragement, appreciation. She couldn't embody both at the same time. She has some maturing yet to do. And I would submit there are probably some of us here in this room, maybe all of us, have some maturing to do as we walk in receiving and expressing the grace of God. So the Lord, as I walked away from that moment, it was almost like He was setting me up for an illustration. You know what I mean? But not just for you today, but for me. Because in those moments, just like you, when you wonder whether or not you've gotten it or not, He sets you up for a situation where you either show it or not, whether you either have it or you don't. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 14, and then we'll go to verse 15. The Apostle Paul is in Troas. He is there preaching, and he is on his way because of the fact that someone is not there. Titus is not there with him. He's going to make a decision to go on to Macedonia. So in the context of this situation, he makes this statement. Watch this as the Word of God speaks. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm still being saved. I'm being saved from myself. I'm being saved from what others think. I'm being saved through I'm moving on. I'm being brought out of old thinking, brought out of old influences. And I am also among those who are perishing that are around me that yet don't know Him. So I know that you, whether it's in your home, at your work, or in the marketplace, you encounter those folks as well, just like I do. So what are we? We are, in fact, the fragrance or the aroma of grace, not only to those around us, but also to God. Now, take a look at this. If you and I think of this this grace, if you will, in a way that says, well, what's the problem here? First of all, the problem is that you and I have been influenced over a number of years by others around us. Maybe some of our thinking, like mine, I had influences of others in my background, which as I grew up was a classical Pentecostal background. Anyone know what that means? Okay, there are a few of you that do, and others of you, hallelujah. Because there were so many rules and restrictions, and you can't do this and you can't do that. It wasn't, at least this is my perspective, okay? Don't want to throw stones, or as a friend of mine used to say, when we used to do a radio broadcast, he would say, don't throw any grenades in someone else's camp, okay? So I don't want to do that, but the fact is that most of what I heard were the don'ts and not the do's. So I got some impressions out of that about what God was like and what His grace was or wasn't like. And those things influenced me. So as I started my walk with Him at 19 years old, I began to realize that I was trying to meet someone else's expectations. Give an example. I grew up in Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. Very hot there, obviously. It's just always hot there. I'll put it that way. Almost, it seems like. So one day, my dad had given me some instructions about an area that I had to dig a trench. I was out digging the trench. Part of it went through the front yard area. So I was digging. As I was digging, we lived on a large major highway going in, not an interstate, but a two-lane road that was well-trafficked going into town. And so I was out, and I was doing this digging, and I got really hot, and I remember, I'm 19-ish at that point. I reach up, pull my shirt off, threw it down, and kept working. At that point, I wasn't perspiring. I was sweating. All right? You know what that's like. So, late in the day, it was either that day or early the next, and I believe it was same day, I get a phone call from my pastor. And my pastor tells me that there was a woman, an older woman, by the way, driving by my home and saw me in the front yard working without my shirt on, stopped by the church to let him know that I was being indecent in my front yard. Time for a drink. So, I get this call. My pastor tells me what she said. He was very direct. He told me what she said. And then he said, Randy, do not let her affect you. He said, don't listen to that because I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. He would have. There was no way for him to know how that released me. Because, you see, he wanted me to walk in God's grace and liberty. She wanted me to walk in restriction and under control. Because, see, it's that person who feels they have control. So I had to lay down, first point today, I had to lay down the expectations of others. I had to break that and not let someone else's expectations drive my decisions. But I had to learn to walk in the grace of God. Fast forward. By the way, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I don't even judge myself. I don't even trust myself to judge myself. So, you fast forward a number of years. I'm in the ministry. I've invited someone to come and speak to our congregation. And this gentleman's name was Ben Soto. Ben came, he spoke. He had become someone who was a discipler, a nurturer, if you will, in my own life. And we saw one another on an occasional basis, always in the moment where God was about to do something of a major turn or twist in my life. It was amazing how he would just show up at the right moment. So, we're sitting at lunch, and he made a comment across the table. He makes this comment, and it just drilled me. And just like that, I reacted to it. Have you ever had that moment? Somebody says something, and you just kind of go, ugh. And in you, I completely felt like I was disagreeing with what Ben had said. Now, I had enough of a relationship with him that I could say, Ben, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. He looks across the table, as serious as he could possibly get, and he says to me, Randy, I think the only fear that I have would be this, that I would not walk in the fullness of God's grace and liberty. If that can be a fear. Because he had had situations like I had had. He had had situations like you have had, where others have tried to impose, and yet it wasn't the work of the grace of God. Where you even self-impose, and it isn't the work of the grace of God. Where there are expectations that need to be broken and released so you can walk in the grace of God. Like a guy once said to me on a radio interview, he said to me that he felt like if he didn't pray X, and I won't tell you how much, but X number of hours per week, that he wasn't worthy of God's anointing in his life. That is not grace. Now, he may need to pray. I mean, we all need to, and I prefer this, hold conversation with God. Okay? This isn't a thing I do, an event in my day. It's a conversation I have with him throughout the day. So, here this moment with Ben just adjusts me. It quickens my thinking, and it makes me think about what is the grace of God. Now, I'm going to do something. I have been, for some time, I've been doing some business training, and I travel a good bit. And one of the things that I'm going to warn you about is that usually I teach 6 hours a day. So did you bring something to eat? It's downstairs. Well, all right. Well, we have to have it catered and brought up, okay? Calm down. I'm not going to do that, okay? But I have learned to pick volunteers, okay, throughout my career, not only in ministry, but also in doing some business training that I do. Now, I'm going to ask Mary Brewer if she'll volunteer. I know she will. She's sitting over there. She'll come up. Mary, would you come up here? I need you to help me with an illustration. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Remember this. Grace is an expression of nature. Would you come over here and just stand on this side? Thank you. Grace is an expression of nature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, some of us would call that the love chapter, right? In verse 4, it says something like this. You help me with this. It says, love is patient and kind, okay? Patience is an attitude, and kindness is the action that is born from the attitude. It's expressed in the word patience, but patience is an attitude. Would you agree? You can't be patient. I can't do patience to you. I can have patience, which may affect our relationship, conversation, etc. But it's an attitude, and from it comes action or kindness, which is the expression. And everything else that follows that comes out of those two things. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, I like this. I like taking stuff that may be like really multi-layered, boil it down to something very simple, an illustration that I can give you. So I've asked Mary to step up. Her heart's palpitating. Can you see it?
No.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Mary, if you would, hold off on that just one second. Okay?
Hold off on what?
Whatever I was about to do. As a minister, I have led hundreds and hundreds of wedding rehearsals, okay, in preparation for the marriage of the next day. So usually, you have all those people in the room and nobody knows what they're going to do yet. And then they get the guys and the gals in the back of the room. They're standing out in the foyer. And the guys have no idea what to do. Okay? Okay. I heard of that's right over here. Hallelujah. Okay. So back here in the back, here's what I do. I'll say, okay, come on. Everybody come here. Guys, here's what I don't ask them if they know what to do. This is what I do. Here's what I've learned. I've learned that some of us know how to do this and some of us don't. I need one of the ladies, and I'll have a lady come up and I'll do this. I'll say, guys, when you're escorting the lady, when you greet her in the back, here's what you do. You take her hand like you're going to shake her hand. Now, see what she did? She just reached out, didn't she? Okay, it's normal. I would do that. You would shake my hand. Now, here's what you do, guys, is you just take your arm and do this and put your hand at about your belt buckle. Okay? Now, then you walk her down the aisle. Now, once you're walking down the aisle, come on, go with me on this. So once she's walking down the aisle, thank the Lord she's already gone down the aisle with Mike. It's all over, done with. Okay. So here, now we're walking along. We're coming down to the aisle. And let's say I'm going to have her take a seat right here. What I'll do is just take her by the hand, and then I have her take her seat right there. You got that, guys? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the guys that are lined up for the wedding, okay? And they all do this. Yeah, some of them go like, yeah, man, sure. And they still have no idea what I just showed them, okay? And here's what they do. They go like this. They get knotted up. It's an amazing thing. They walk down the aisle like this with her hanging her arm. And if you think I'm exaggerating it, you have not been to a wedding recently. It's weird what they do. Now, let me just show you one more time. Okay, we just do it like this, and then we walk. Okay, and then could you move that for just a second? Okay, thank you. Now, then I'll just have her take her seat. All right. Now let me ask you this: you were watching me. Remember, it's an illustration about grace. Now, let me ask you this. What did you see in me? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. What? Leadership? What?
Etiquette?
Gentleness or gentle manner? Confidence? I put myself out first. Okay, what was your? Kindness? Thoughtfulness? Compassion? Now, those things that you've just said, some of them would be considered what we would call social graces. Isn't that right? And what I just did, that is a social grace. If you have an internalized social grace, it can come out of you. If you don't, then you have to learn how to do it and then come to the point where you're confident doing it, so that you can come to the point where it's a expression of your attitude. So first of all, I'm not afraid to do it because I'm confident. I've done it enough to be able to show you in front of you. Now, this is not an etiquette class, but remember this, that what we call social graces comes out of a need or a desire to have grace expressed in our social environment. Who better to do that than you and I? Because we embody the presence of the Holy Spirit, the living Lord and God, it's He who has and is grace that expresses itself through us to someone else. So whether it's a taking someone by the hand and beginning to escort them or share with them. She didn't take my hand. Take my hand. There you go. All right. Come on around this way. Now, whether it's that easy to do or not, it takes practice. Is that right? Wouldn't you say that? I've done it thousands of times. I've done it in wedding rehearsals hundreds of times at least. There are people who do not want it, so they reject it. And once they come to the aisle, drop off the lady, they go stand in their position, and that wedding's over, they are done with it. Now, what is that an expression of? See, in them, they don't want it, so they reject it. So grace comes from what is internalized, what is your value, what is His value in you to someone else. Thanks, Mary. Did you just... Now, let me say it then this way. Grace is not static. Grace is active. It's like if I were patient but don't express it in kindness, then so what? If I say I have grace but I'm static, then I'm just in grace and grace is not expressed through me. Grace is expressed through God from the very beginning. Everything He made, everything He's doing, everything He's done is an expression of His nature. It's not just, let me see, what could I do today? Oh, I'll make something. It is an expression of His nature and grace. Just like love is an expression of an attitude in an act. If that act is kindness, it's an expression in that act. Now, there are things that block the release of that grace. Now, let me just ask you, what are some of the things that might block grace? I'll give you a big one, just a hint. It starts with an S. Sin. Say it with me. Sin. Okay, which is a separation from God, right? Okay. So first of all, we need to take care of the sin issue, ask God to forgive us, remove the sin issue from our relationship with Him, so we now invite Him to come in and be the leader and Lord and dynamic person in our life to help us grow and move on. Begins with getting rid of sin. But now what are some other blocks or some other breaks, you know? What are some other things that might stop grace from being expressed? Fear, exactly. What was another one? Anger? Selfishness? Hurts? What'd you say? Stubbornness. She was stubborn about it too. She wanted to make sure I heard that one. What? Pride? Each one of these and many others that we can put on the list, they are the blocks. They're like the chuck, the block that's under the wheel that will not let this vehicle move ahead. But at the same time, that looks like a passive thing. It's just a stop. We also, because of those things, we put our foot on the brake. I'm driving up 270. God's grace is trying to be expressed to me. If I don't believe His best for me, I do what? I put on the brake of His grace being expressed to me. Because I don't discuss it with Him. I disagree with Him. I argue with Him. I doubt Him. Surely this can't be for me. Surely You don't want me to do this now. It's late. I'm on my way. So I'm putting the brake on grace. But rather than do that, you and I have to learn, first of all, not to try to meet the expectations of everybody around us, even our own self-imposed expectations, but meet the expectation and loving encounter that we have with God. And secondly, remove the chocks, the blocks, and stop putting on the brake when God is trying to express His grace to us. Now, we've been primarily talking about the impact or effect on us. But in reality, what God is doing is not just to us, but can you agree that He wants to do it through our lives so others know the fragrance of God? Is that right? Okay. So now let's take it to the next step. A simple illustration. Again, it's just because of my simpleton nature, I want to just bring it down to something that's easily understood. I'm going to ask Patty if she'll join me. Lanny's not here. Thought I'd give you roses. Now, notice this. First of all, did you know that they've nearly completely removed the fragrance of the flower by constantly working through to get different colors and so forth? You know, it's amazing. I was in the shop going... I smelled and finally I smelled some that were pretty good, but they cost three times more than this, so sorry.
I understand.
Just being up front with you, okay? All right. But these weren't cheap either. Just letting you know. All right. Kind of pretty, aren't they?
Yeah, they're beautiful. Yeah.
You like that color?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Now, can you tell me if they have any fragrance here? I mean, I'm going to let you. I'm not going to stick them in your nose or anything, you know. So, can you faint fragrance? Can you tell me what it's like?
Like a rose.
Oh. Smells like a rose, doesn't it? A little bit like a rose.
A little bit like a rose. Yeah,
yeah. Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a fragrance. In fact, it's a cologne that comes out of France called Joy. That's the expression of a rose. It's the crushed petals of a rose. And you only have to wear just a tad of it. It's really expensive. Tell Lanny I said get some for you. Guys, you can edit this out, right? Just edit that part out. Okay. I'll never be back again, you know? Okay. So, yeah, that... ain't going to happen. she asked me, she said she was looking for the box, okay? That's not going to happen. But it's absolutely marvelous because you really can get the essence of the smell of a rose. And the reason I say this is because this, as an expression of God's grace, an illustration of God's grace, very different from what we did earlier with this other illustration. See, the other illustration is about the active expression of God's grace. But remember in 2 Corinthians 2:15 it said this, in 14 actually, previous to 15, it said that you and I are the what? Fragrance. Say it with me. The fragrance. Now, guys, just so you're included, I thought about kind of having a lumberyard smell in here today. You know, like you walk in a lumberyard and you go, smell those chips. Yeah. All right. You know? Yeah. So, there are aromas, there are fragrances that you and I connect with, boom, just like that. And it sends us to places. It takes us to calming moments, to exciting moments, it takes us to points in history. But in the moment, it can also, if we've never smelled it before or if we just enjoy the smell, there's nothing quite like it for me. I have done a lot of construction. I just walk in the lumber yard and it's like, yeah, I love the smell. I love, you know, like cut another one, you know. And particularly certain kinds of woods obviously give off a certain fragrance, all right. Now, guys, lest you and I, we focus on a rose and it appear as though it's feminine. It's not. You and I, when we walk into a home, there are fragrances in that home. I remember at Christmas, Christmas a year ago, coming into your home, there was the smell of foods being prepared for that party. There were candles burning. There was, you know, different fragrances that immediately reminded you of Christmas. If you didn't even know it was Christmas, you walk in the home and you would be reminded of Christmas because of those smells. Now, what I'm saying to you is that you and I, it may appear passive that we would take these roses, place them in a certain place to add aroma to a room or to add beauty to that room. But note this, it's not passive at all. Because, see, someone made an active decision to bring fragrance to the room. A candle the same way, flowers the same way. It's about the decision which comes from the nature. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this terminology, but because she is the first lady of this house, I'd like to just ask you to keep those roses, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You may go sit down. No, well, you're fortunate we don't have another service after this, or I'd have to take them back, do it again. You get to keep them. So, passive, it's not static or inactive. Grace is an active expression of the nature of God. So, let me give you an illustration as I'm closing. And by the way, that's the first if you're counting. I have two more to come. See, I keep track whether you do or not. Had the opportunity of working in an automobile dealership, Porsche Audi dealership in Rockville. And while there, I was sitting at a desk. Right next to me at the other desk was another gentleman. We'll call him Greg, okay? Greg, really challenging young man. Great guy, but really challenging young man. He is definitely, on the personality scale, a very, very high D. His meter goes bam and hits the limits, all right? He is on with it, okay? He was going through, as I first came on board, he was going through the beginning of preparation for a wedding. So they were going to go through marriage counseling. Through a premarital counseling. So I come in. And I think within the first few hours, not even 24, I don't think, but anyway, this is what he says to me. Somehow he had found out I had a reverend background. So he says to me, well, Rev, I wanted to let you know that I don't believe in God. I mean, there may be a God, but I don't believe necessarily that there is. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm going back to college. I have a label on that. I know what to call him now. Yada, yada, yada. None of that matters because he is telling me what? Leave me alone. Isn't that what he's telling me? If you've ever had anybody tell you that, raise your hand because everybody else in the room thinks they're by themselves. Okay? So, here I am, the Rev, and he says, Rev, just leave me alone. He didn't say it in those words, but he said it, okay? So I got it, no problem. Fast forward a couple of days, a week, and he spins around his chair, looks right at me, leans back, and he goes, I got a question for you. I hadn't asked him any questions. I'd left him alone, just like he asked me to do. So, he spins around and asks me, I got a question for you. Okay, well, we just went to our first marriage premarital counseling thing, and this is what the reverend said, and I just don't agree with it, and I just want to know what you think. All right, it's like stand you on the cliff and just push me off, you know? So I said, well, tell me what he said. So he went through that, and then I said, well, if I could, from his perspective, here's what I think he was saying. And remember, he had told me he disagreed with what the guy said. So I said, from his perspective, this is what I believe he was saying. And by the way, just so you understand, I agree with him. And I didn't say, and I agree with him, you idiot. Nor did I communicate that attitude. Now, see, you can either be the flowers sitting at the desk bringing about the fragrance in the room. You can be the person who is actively trying to get that door to open. And I believe that God's grace at the moment was, shut up, leave him alone, let him come to you, if he comes. Because I realize this, God is at work all around me. I wouldn't be here today had he not been the one that called on me to come to him. And I was not a believer. Far, far from it. So, we had this conversation. blah, 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 blah. Fast forward a couple of days or a week. They have another appointment. He comes back. I'm at my desk. He's at his desk. He spins around. I'd gotten accustomed to the spin of the chair. He spins around. He looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Rev, I have another question for you." I said, "Okay, hold on." And I picked up my phone and made a phone call. I evaded his question. I made him wait. And he, what I didn't tell you was that he and his desk mate had been in, let's say, a vigorous conversation. Not quite the blows because they were friends, but nearly there. And so he's going to spin around and drag me into their mess. And I said, not going to happen. Make a phone call, made the phone call. At the end of the phone call, I had been hearing what they were talking about. I stood up, walked over. I just barely put my hands or fingers on the desk like that. And I said, "Oh, by the way, why don't you consider this? Just think about this, consider this." And then I walked away. Some of us, we have this attitude that internally we think that we've got to convince everybody around us. And yet, if you are that fragrant aroma, God will draw them to you. Now, I realize there are those in the room that may be active evangelists. You have a gift of evangelism, and you are hot on their trail because God has gifted you to pursue. But even in that environment, I've seen some great evangelists in the work world that set the fragrance out there, and the people just come to them. Now, let me show you this. If there's a part of this message I really love, it's this part. And that is this, that in the first part it says that we are the fragrance in that world around us. In the second part, it says this: we are the aroma unto God. Whoa, that is good. We are the aroma unto God. So now watch this. Everybody, don't look up there. Look at me. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, "I sent my Son that I might come and dwell within you, that you could go and be the fragrance in the world around you." And then here is God's reaction to what you and I are in that world. He goes, "That smells so good." So when you are doing those acts of kindness, when you are doing those works of the expression of grace, know this: you are being impacted. Those around you are being impacted. And God our Father is enjoying the aroma of the work of His Son in and through your life. Isn't that good? Isn't that just good? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, at the end of a message like this, I'm wondering, Lord, what are you saying into so many hearts, into so many minds? And Lord, I know that there are moments when there were flashes, there were faces of people that came to mind as I was talking about Greg, or as I mentioned that woman who drove by and saw me without my shirt. I know there are probably people who know a pastor, someone who had a spiritual discipleship or nurturing relationship in their life that brought grace to them. But there are those here today that are walking, trying to walk, but yet they've got chocks under the wheels and their foot on the brake. They're trying to meet the expectations of someone else, maybe even their own self-imposed expectations, and they need to walk in the liberty of your grace. Lord, right now, in that wonderful place where we can hold an intimate conversation with you, Lord, I pray that you would help them see it, because the first step is to see it and know it. And then, Lord, to liberate them from it and give them, I pray, Lord, that you will give them an opportunity today, tomorrow, maybe at home, at work, in the marketplace, somewhere you'll give them an opportunity where you'll whisper those words. You'll whisper an idea. You'll let them know that you couldn't whisper that into them if your nature wasn't abiding in them. They wouldn't even hear it. They wouldn't even necessarily get it. And then you can express yourself through them. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. I want to close with this one illustration. Last evening, after a vigorous conversation and lots of laughter, you guys will remember this, I believe, as we stood up to walk away from the table, there was a couple sitting, this was at the Outback, there was a couple sitting with their two children. One was quite small and the other one, what? The little girl was what? Six, maybe? Four? Four, probably? And Dad had had a real challenge with her because she was a wiggler. And Dad said, at one point, he said, sweetie, why don't you come sit here and we are going to draw and I'm going to tell you a story. He had such a wonderful fatherly attitude of drawing her in. So we remember we had been there for a while. There were some other people sitting at that table. They had left, and then this couple and their children came in and sat down. During our conversation is when this happened. And at that moment, I could have said something at that moment, but I asked God for the right timing. We got up. We were starting to walk away. As I turned to walk away, I turned back. Everything I'm telling you was absolutely intentional. Even the fact that I seemed to be walking away. It's an afterthought. Have you seen Columbo? Well, ma'am, I turned back and I looked at him and I said, Dad, I just want you to know how wonderful that was earlier when she was getting, you know, really to be a challenge. And you just said, come here, sweetie. We're going to draw a picture, and I'm going to tell you a story. And she calmed down. She sat there. She was totally engrossed. He looked at me, and he said, you know, it's really tough to take two small ones out and enjoy a dinner together. It certainly is. Understand. Great dad. At that moment, his wife and that little girl walked up and was standing there. And I looked at the little girl, said, he is a great daddy. And I turned, and we walked out. That is the expression of the grace of God, is it not? So I want you to find, ask God for those moments. Because in that moment I thought, someone in here may know that couple. And they won't ever know. It's not important that I know. But when I get to heaven, you might go, come here. Remember that Outback story you told? Here they are. Boy, won't that be a moment in heaven? God bless you. Thank you.